chapter number 1, the book of Titus, chapter number 1. What a blessing it is to be under the tabernacle this morning, and I'm glad he took my place. Amen. The book of Titus, chapter number 1, we'll read verse 5. There'll be other verses we'll allude to in the chapter, but I know this is where we're supposed to be for this time together. The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. I want to begin this morning in this scripture by introducing you to God's servant that is in this text, the one that is being penned. The Apostle Paul is writing the letter to Titus. Titus is mentioned 13 times in the scripture. The book of Galatians chapter 2, verse number 3 says that Titus was a Greek. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says that there is earnest care in the heart of this young man by the name of Titus. I like that. That's a great description of a man. I believe Paul praises God for that earnest care that is in the heart of young Titus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23, Paul calls Titus a fellow helper. I like that as well. A companion in labor, I believe is what Paul is saying. Paul also calls Titus a messenger. And what a great privilege it is to be a messenger for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I didn't write the Bible, the Holy Ghost did. But I sure am glad I get to be a messenger and I get to proclaim the precious word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 6, Paul writes that just by the coming of Titus, looking out over the way and seeing Titus coming, that it was a comfort. What a testimony that is. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 4, Paul calls Titus mine own son after the common faith. Now the exhortation of the Apostle Paul here in the scripture, it thrills my heart. Paul did this much when Paul wrote, I've been studying in my studying in my preaching at the church. I've been going through verse by verse in the book of 1 Timothy. Paul did the same thing for young Timothy in the book of Romans and in the book of Colossians and Thessalonians and also in the book of Philippians. Paul would write to those people exhorting of young Timothy just as I have explained to you of young Titus. I believe the book of Philippians chapter 2, that great chapter, is such a wonderful example to show you how Paul would exhort the brethren. For it was in Philippians chapter 2 that he exhorted Timothy, and he also exhorted that servant Epaphroditus. I believe when the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. I believe Peter got that mindset by the Apostle Paul. I remember from the Hebrew writing, and I believe that it could have been the Apostle Paul that did that writing. Hebrews 10:25 says that kind of exhortation should be so much the more as we see the day approaching. I'll tell you this concerning Titus, I must hurry, but the name Titus in the Latin, it has a Latin origin and it means a nurse. I looked at it this way. I believe Titus is one that wants to help hurting people. Isn't that the heart in the man of God? Can I say this, men of God, what a blessing that it is that we can stand and proclaim just as Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 8:22 that there is a balm in Gilead. Not only do I want you to see God's servant this morning, but secondly, I want you to see the setting of our text. I want you to notice in verse 5 of Titus chapter 1 that the Apostle Paul writes, for this cause left I thee in Crete. The Greek name for Crete means fleshy. I kind of think of it this way. Those that were going more after the things of the flesh than they were the things of the Spirit. Crete is the largest and most fertile island in the Mediterranean Sea. You remember cities of Crete, Lycia and Phoenice and the Fair Havens.
Crete is 140 miles long, 30 miles wide, over 3,000 square miles. And the Apostle Paul, you remember, on his fourth missionary journey in Acts 27, apprehended as a prisoner, sailed by Crete on his way to Rome. Notice also in verse number 5, I'm going somewhere, it's just taking me a minute to get there. Notice again in verse number 5 that there is a cause why Titus has been left in Crete. There is a reason God put him there. God has a plan and God has a purpose for this young preacher to be in Crete. In fact, God has a word for Crete. Brother Dana, I go back to Monday, I guess you could say God had put him in Crete because Titus has got something to say. Amen. I want you to notice back in verse number 3 of this chapter that the Bible said, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. The unction and the anointing on the man of God and in the power of God to preach. God's got him there and has got his hand on him and has anointed him to proclaim the precious word of God to the Cretans. I want to say this thirdly after we see his setting. I want you to look at the shape of Crete. Now, this is going to take us down to verses 10, 11, and 12. So look there quickly with me. So we've met God's servant. We've seen the setting. Let's see the shape of the setting. I want you to look at verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That word many means numerous. We're talking about large crowds. The word unruly means ones that will not be subjected to control. I guess you could say that Crete was in a state of chaos. The more I studied on this, the more I thought about the America I live in right now. I don't know about you. Those that are unruly, I'm thinking of David's words in Psalms chapter 2 and verse number 3 when he spoke of the heathen raging and the people imagining a vain thing. He said in that chapter of Psalms 2, David said, the chaos of the crowd says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's kind of the mindset that you have in the land of Crete. Paul writes to Titus that these false teachers are vain talkers. Let me say it this way. Go back to what Brother Day. They don't have anything to say. But thank God Titus does have something to say. They are vain talkers. They are idle talkers. They are uttering empty, senseless things. But what we're doing under this arbor this morning is not in vain. As the snow and the rain falls to the ground, it returns not thither. And I like what the preacher said the other morning, and I don't try to keep piggybacking, but what God has said is eternal, and it just keeps on being said. I thought about what he's preaching the other morning, and I thought about John the Baptist. John was called the voice, not an echo. He was called the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And when Herodias had his head cut off, the preaching of the cross did not stop. Hallelujah. Amen. Titus 1:10 says that these are deceivers. They are seducers. They are mind deceivers. The Apostle Paul told the Galatians that they pervert the truth of God, and they are troubling many people. Titus 1:11 says this. This troubles me. Titus 1:11 says these false teachers are subverting whole houses. That word subvert is the Greek word anatrepo. If you take that word and break it into its prefix and suffix, ana means they're right in the middle of these homes. And trepo means that their intentions are to turn. They are entering these homes to destroy that home. The Bible says the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But what a blessing it is as a man of God to declare the one that come not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse number 12, look at it quickly. Titus 1:12 says that these Cretans are liars. They're evil beasts. They're slow bellies. Liars in verse 12 is the Greek word soutes. It means a false and a faithless man. The first occurrence of that Greek word soutes in Scripture is John 8:44. It describes these false teachers' father. Because John 8:44, speaking of the devil, says he is a liar and the father of it. I'm glad I know who the liar is this morning, and I'm glad I know who the truth is this morning. For Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. In verse 12, I'm still trying to show you the shape of Crete. In verse 12 of chapter 1, the Cretans are described as evil beasts, these false teachers. That word evil means a ferocious beast, a beast that has all intentions to injure and to destroy. Can I tell you, there are those in this hour that they are meeting in their council rooms, and they're meeting not to go out and to spread the good news. They go not out with the gospel, the great commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. But they are going out of their council halls with the full intentions to injure and to destroy. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, also in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 10, Peter and Jude liken these men unto natural brute beasts. They are the apostates of the hour, I truly believe. In verse 12 of chapter 1, the Cretans are also called slow bellies. That word, let me just put it this way. That word slow means lazy, and that word bellies means a glutton. That these people are living without self-control. Oh, but in the midst of all of this, with the shape that the island of Crete was in, thank God God had a man to go down to Crete. Aren't you glad God loves everybody? Aren't you glad for God to love the world? I heard a preacher say one time, there was a doctor walked out of an operating room, and he looked at the family and said, there's no more hope. And he said, sir, is there still life in that individual? And he said, yes. He said, there's still hope, because there's still a God on the throne that can save to the uttermost. I know there are those at this hour that they're consciences have been seared with a hot iron. I know there are those at this hour that God has given them up and given them over to a reprobate mind, as how is mentioned in the last part of Romans chapter 1. I don't know who those men are, though. I look and I see the fruits. I understand that. But I tell you what I'm going to do in these last days. I'm not going to look at something and say, no need to preach to that. No need to preach to those. There's no more hope. Can you imagine being Ezekiel, standing in the valley full of dry bones? But I tell you, while that boy preached, he said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. His hand was upon me. And that valley didn't come alive because of Ezekiel. Brother Bagwell said something Friday night in the message that thrilled my soul. He said that boy went and sowed a seed and went home and went to bed. He said, because the power was not in that boy, the power was in the seed. When Ezekiel preached to that valley full of dry bones, he didn't say, let me tell you what Ezekiel thinks about it. He said, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In the day that Jeroboam built an image in Dan and in Bethel, God had a man. In the days that the prophets of Baal stood on top of Mount Carmel, God had a man. In the days when Paul walked through Mars Hill and saw an image and an inscription to the unknown God, I'm glad God had a man. I want to ask the men of God a question very quickly. We've seen God's servant. We've seen the setting God has put him in and the shape of that setting. Would Crete be the place that you would want God to put you in to minister? I've thought about Timothy. Timothy's in Ephesus. Paganism is rampant. The goddess Diana is being worshipped. Demetrius is making silver shrines and is bringing much gain. How would you have liked to be in that place? Some may have come under this arbor this week and you say, preacher, you just don't know the place I have to minister. Can I correct you? It's the place we get to minister. I know burden talk, and I like carrying a burden, but don't let what you're doing for God become a dread. let it be a burden. I remember the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1:12. He extolled the Lord and he told Timothy, "Timothy, he hath enabled me, putting me into the ministry." Thank God if he's the one that put me in, and he was, because I sure didn't choose this. If he was the one that put me in, then he knows where he wants me to be during this ministry. And I would say this, and I hope you take it the right way. I'd rather be in a difficult place like Crete in the will of God than to be in a comfortable place outside the will of God. One would ask this, what is Titus to do? What is he supposed to do? I believe our answer is in verse 5. Go back there with me. That's the verse I read. God's solution now for the shape of Crete. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. That thou shouldest set in order, that is one in that entire phrase is one Greek word. This is the only time this Greek word occurs in all of Scripture. And this phrase, that thou shouldest set in order, is a medical term. It means to set that which is broken, to set that which is effective. It is when a doctor sets a broken bone. If you've ever had a broken bone, you know initially that is very painful. But if there is to be future success and future growth, then that setting must take place. I tell you, I believe Titus had a backbone like a railroad railing. I really do. I want to shake his head and hug his neck and say, thank you for going to the difficult places. Wasn't that the mindset of the Apostle Paul? He said, I want to go to the places that Christ has not been named yet. I mean, when God landed him on a barbarous island, he wasn't upset about it. How do you know? When a devil come out of the fire and latched onto his arm, he just shook him off, kept on preaching, and the chief got saved. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, set in order the things that are wanting. What does that word wanting mean? It means the things that are lacking. I'm telling you what, if the people ain't got the word, they ain't got anything. Oh, the word is not just necessary. The word is enough. Coming down to the Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting, my 10-year-old sitting in the back seat. And we was talking about preaching. I said, son, I said, you like preaching? His name's Elijah. I said, you like preaching? He said, Daddy, only if it's out of the book. I'm talking about setting in order the things that are wanting, the things that are lacking. Remember verse 11, whole houses are being subverted. Mama, Daddy, Junior, and Sissy, whole houses are being subverted. You know that oftentimes in Scriptures, churches met in homes. We remember from Acts 12, they're down at John Mark's house. We remember in Philemon, they're down at Philemon's house in Philemon chapter 1 and verse number 2. On the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2 verse 11, the Cretes heard the preaching of the gospel on the day of Pentecost. I believe many of them were saved, and homes are now being used as meeting places for the churches in Crete. And these churches were being subverted, turned in a false direction. And Paul said, go down there, Titus, and set in order the things that are wanting. I want you to look back at verse 5 quickly. Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. I quoted just a minute ago 1 Timothy 1:12. It is not me or you that calls a man to preach. It is God. I'll say this. I'm as for sure of my calling as I am my salvation. Because they're both very, very similar to me. I'll say it this way, and I hope I get an amen. God initiated the visit in both. God initiated the visit in both. That he put the burning there. The burning that Jeremiah spoke of. The fire shut up in the bone. God initiated the visit. I didn't get in. I didn't choose in. I didn't leak in. Thank God I was put into the ministry. Ordain elders. I don't believe he's going down there to handpick men. I say thank God for those. How can he preach except he be sent? How can he preach except he be sent? Appointed. Look at that word in verse 5. Appointed in that verse is a military term, meaning Titus had been commanded. Titus had been given orders by Paul, preacher. Sure, I guess you could say, but most importantly by God. To do what? To ordain elders. Now look at that word, ordain. That word ordain is a word that it's got a prefix of kata, which means something that came down from above. And then it has a suffix, that word ordain, histame, and it means to establish, to place, and to set firm. I'm glad my calling came from a high place. Thank God it came from a high place in the fact that it established me and it set me. And thank God they ain't enough devils in and out of hell this morning to make me doubt, number one, that I'm saved by the amazing grace of God, and number two, that God laid his hand on me. And I tell you, men, in those times that the ministry gets so difficult, in those times you walk from a platform and you think you've made a mess, in those times you ride home with your wife and you quit about 5 times on the way home, I'm glad I can't quit. It's burning in me because my calling came from a high place and established me in the precious word of God. I have to believe this word, ordain, and I'm about done. This word, ordain, I believe it had a charge in it. Go down there and charge them to preach. I wonder about the elders down there in the city. I wonder about what they've allowed. I wonder about what they've not been preaching as they should. And here this young man is sitting down there. Ordain elders and ever give them a charge. You know, the young Timothy was told the same thing by the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 3, Paul speaking to Timothy said, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Charge. That word charge, it's like in the military, given a command from a superior officer, or relaying a command from a superior officer, or can I put it this way, the superior officer, the presiding officer, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I'll give you this. When the Apostle Paul, and I believe he's saying the same thing to Titus, when the Apostle Paul told Timothy to charge some that they teach no other doctrine, that came from two Greek words. It came from a word heteros, which means to say something different. And it came from a Greek word didaskalio, which means the word doctrine, to teach. That word didaskalio in the Greek language can, and the first time in Scripture that it's ever mentioned in Scripture, that Greek word, it's translated as master. It's translated as master in Matthew chapter number 8, I believe around verse 19. You know what I believe? That the Apostle Paul was telling young Timothy and also telling Titus. I believe he was going down there and he was saying, boys, tell them that if they're going to teach, tell them to say exactly what the master says and nothing else. Do you know the scripture in Romans 10:15? And I know you do. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. I believe the Apostle Paul said that with such exclamation and such appreciation for the good word of God and the preaching of the word. I want to share that with you for just a minute. I love that phrase. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful. What a statement of exclamation and appreciation for the preaching of the gospel. That word beautiful, let me tell you this, that word beautiful in the Greek language takes me to the garden. And when it takes me to the garden, it shows me two things in the garden. It takes me to a flower that is in full bloom. A flower that looks so beautiful. You know how these children are. They find a pretty flower out here. They'll pick it and take it to mama. Because you just don't want to enjoy that flower for yourself. You want to take it and share it with somebody else. That's what preaching's like. Has it ever been that it's got... Can I say it's got that way around here this week? It's got so good and it's got so beautiful. And the men of God just declaring the good word of God. And thank God for the men of God. But most of all, thank God for that is coming from their lips. That is forever settled in heaven. And it's so beautiful that you want to pick. You've done it this week. You've picked it. And then you've got on the phone and you've said, get on the website. Get the CD. I had some men, I couldn't be here yesterday morning, and I was told at breakfast this morning, make sure you get them messages from yesterday morning. Oh, it broke loose. You know what it was? It was just like a beautiful blossoming flower. But you know that word beautiful in Romans 10:15, telling us of the appreciation and the beauty of preaching. It also takes us to the fruit trees. And when it takes us to the fruit trees, it shows us something that is very lush and very beautiful. I mean, it's like one of them big Virginia beauties that's ready to pick. Amen. It's like one of them good Georgia peaches that you bite into and your teeth goes all the way to the seed, just like that. You know what I'm talking about. I like that, don't you? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. You know what preaching has been sometimes, Brother Stephen? It's been such a great taste. And you said, boy, that's helped me. But you didn't want to just keep it for yourself. You took it home with you. You took it to somebody else. You said, hey, take a bite of this. There's been many times I've went from a church service and tried to tell somebody else the entirety of a man's message, because the entirety helped me so much, just like a good taste out of a luscious fruit. Paul said how beautiful that is. But how beautiful are the what? The feet. Now many would say that's for us to pray for the feet of the man of God, and surely I want you to. You order his steps, Lord, in your word. Surely I want you to do that. The steps of a good man ordered by, surely I want you to do that. But when I looked up that word feet in Romans 10:15, it didn't mean any of that. Here's what it said. I hope you'll get it. Footstool. Footstool. A preacher, where do you get what you tell us? I'll tell you. At the footstool of the master. I have nothing to say on my own. Really, I believe this, men. I believe preaching is just telling the people what the master has already said. Amen. I remember Mary at his feet. I remember she heard his words. I want to be at the footstool of the master, and I want to relay to the people what I mean. Do you remember what a compliment? Do you remember the damsel that came to Peter and she said, "You gotta be one of him. You talk like him." Oh, Brother Josh, I want to talk like him. Oh, I have nothing to say without the words of the Master. When the Apostle Paul was in the last chapter of his life writing to young Timothy, he didn't say, preach to him what you think. He said, preach the word. I mean, I want it to be when somebody comes and says, where you get that? I'm glad you asked. I got it from the Lord. And I can show them exactly in the precious word of God. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach. Can I tell you, 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Romans 1:15, can I say this to the men of God? Have a readiness in you to preach. Paul the Apostle said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, the Apostle Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I love the last chapter of Paul's writings. He told Timothy, he said, bring the books. Bring the parchments. You can believe what you want to. I believe Paul still had preach in him. I believe Paul still had preach in him till he went home to be with the Lord. What's the solution, preacher? I don't know your setting. But would you thank God today you're his servant? Do you remember the Apostle Paul saying this in the first chapter of 1 Timothy? He said, I'm ordained a preacher. You know what that word preacher means? It means a herald that has permission in public to speak. Oh, can I tell you, I'm honored to stand before you today. I'm honored to expound the word of God that is forever settled. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What an honor it is for God to allow me to open my lips of clay and say what the great potter of heaven has said for all of eternity. The world cannot destroy it. I don't know what your setting is. I don't know what the shape of your setting is. But I know the solution to your setting, preaching. Amen. Just like Dr. Bagwell said, preach it, give it to them, go home and get a good night's rest. Amen. Thank you, preacher, for this opportunity.
If you appreciate that preaching, say amen. Give that to Brother Jamie. I love you.